Well, we hear the story and the parable of the sower and the seed. Of course, Jesus speaks a lot of parables in the Gospels, if you read the Gospels. It's interesting. We hear the parable itself, and then we have the apostles, the disciples, asking Jesus, why do you speak in parables? Why do you speak in parables, Jesus? To which Jesus basically responds and says, he quotes Isaiah, the prophet. He says, gross is the heart of these people. They hear, but they don't understand. They see, basically, but they don't want to see. It's almost like Jesus is saying they're resistive. They're resistive to the word. It goes on later to say, I want to heal them, basically, is what it says in Isaiah. And so this is what Jesus wants. And we actually heard that, you know, in previous gospel, like this last week, when we hear about Jesus, he wants to heal people. He wants them to listen and repent. So parables, in other words, is a way that Jesus can teach a message. And if you think about it this way, it's sort of an indirect way about telling somebody something. If you read the Gospels, Jesus does this a number of times, where he says a parable and it's like addressed to the Pharisees or the scribes, and he's telling a story. So he doesn't directly address them per se, and like say, hey, you guys are doing this and doing that. He does that eventually, in certain cases, but sometimes Jesus tells a story, a parable, to get his point across. And so it's one of the ways, you know, we can apply this to our lives. And, you know, this, again, we're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to follow after Jesus. So in other words, we're supposed to share the gospel with others, to share the good news, to share the faith. And sometimes, you know, it's maybe we could use stories. Now, I can't make up stories very well. That's why I use the Gospels, you know. But we can tell that person like a story from the Gospel, like a story from Jesus, or you know this parable or that, you know, that situation experience in our lives. So we don't directly call them up, but indirectly, through that story, we can have an impact. You know, just think about this: if we, if we're spreading the faith, talking about our faith, and we talk directly at the person. Like, we say something directly to them and what they're doing or not doing. What can happen, maybe you've experienced this, is rather than focus on what we said, what we're trying to get across, it might come across to them like we're attacking them. And so what happens is they go on the defensive. Have you had this experience? They go on the defensive and it's just like, I'm not attacking you as a person. I'm trying to help you. They come back and they feel like they're being attacked. And then the conversation goes sour, right? You know, have you had the experience? Maybe you have. So rather than directly addressing that, and this is one of the things, you know, we call to know, you know, try to as best assess the situation when we're dealing with people. You know, what's a good approach? So, you know, so again, it might be a story or an experience that we had, or, you know, we share something that happened to us. Well, this is what happened to me, and this is my experience. This is what I felt, or this is what I experienced in this certain situation. Or maybe we actually can have them answer the question. Maybe have them get to come to some understanding. You go back in the Old Testament, remember David, and he had sinned with Bathsheba, and basically had killed Bathsheba's husband. And Nathan the prophet, after that had happened, came up to David, and he shared with David a story about, you know, there was this rich man in the city, and he had all kinds of things, and there's this poor man with this lone ewe lamb. And the rich man wanted that ewe lamb, so the rich man went and stole the ewe ram from this poor guy, poor person. And David was like, oh, that rich man, he should be put in prison or killed or whatever. And Nathan responded back to David, You're the rich man in the story, by the way. So David had answered, through this situation, had answered the question, what he had done. He had done something bad, horrible, certainly. He had basically condemned himself in this story that Nathan posed him. So that might be a way, you know, we try to get people to maybe to help them acknowledge things. And then Jesus, you know, the story of the sower and the seed. One of the angles to look at this is that when we approach people, there can be different reactions. The reactions in the sower and the seed story, right? Where the seed, you know, it falls on the path, it's basically snatched away by the devil. So people can hear what we're saying, but then, you know, ignore it, or, you know, they're so off course, they just think we're crazy or whatever, just ignore it. You know, the seed that falls on rocky ground, you know, there's not much depth of soil, so someone can, you know, when we say something to them, talk about our faith, they can say, oh yeah, that's good, I'll do it. But then when things get difficult and the struggle happens, they fall away. So, and then when, you know, the one that falls among thorns, you know, this can happen, is that people can get hung up on worldly anxieties and things of the world. So, you know, we preach the gospel to them and they're like, oh yeah, yeah, that's a good thing to do. And then just go back to the worldly kind of things in their lives. Now, certainly there's the seed that falls on good ground, you know, takes root. So I think, you know, certainly it applies to us and experiences that we have about people telling us about the faith. But certainly as we're talking with the faith others, that these various things can happen. You know, not to get discouraged or frustrated. Just like, oh yeah, that happened. And so, you know, not to lose heart or just get discouraged with talking to that person or whatnot. To persevere, to continue to share the good news. What's the best approach again to go to those people? And sometimes we have to directly address the people, you know, head on. This is what Jesus does. Again, he had just before this gospel had criticized the local towns in the area for not receiving him, not repenting. He called them out. Later on, when he's in Capernaum, about, you know, a year before Jesus goes to his death, the bread of life discourse, remember that, where Jesus says, hey, you Jews, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood in order to be saved. He thought he was crazy. He said, yeah, you really do. And many of them left. He was direct. And they left. So I think there's, you know, that sometimes, obviously we have to be direct. But again, it's partly us to discern, you know, well, how, Lord, do you want me to approach this person in the situation? How do you want me to share my faith with that person, in the situation we find ourselves, and not to get discouraged. And then certainly from our perspective, maybe someone is trying to help us grow in our faith, to really kind of turn it around and look at it from our perspective, you know, if we're being talked to or something is said about us, really to take it to heart ourselves and ask the Lord, how are you trying to teach me and help me to grow in my faith?